Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about hip-hop, rap, soul, and R&B music from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. Simply put, folks, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. This is the Rap Soul Podcast. I want to shout out and salute to all of you who are watching on YouTube. Check this out. On this episode, what I want to talk about is a conversation that was brought to me by the homie, Uncle Dolomite from the Too Much Game podcast. Shout out to Uncle Dolomite. That's my dog right there. He and the homie King Germ from Pod and Saved Our Marriage were having a conversation, and Dolomite hit me up. He called me the other day and he said, "Hey man, I got an idea for the Rap Soul Podcast." And we started talking about these tropes, more specifically terrible rapper tropes. And when he brought the idea to me, I was like, "Yo, this is a great idea," because I think a lot of times if you're not careful, you can have these tropes be around you or be heard or be said to you. And if you're not careful, you may not even think twice about what it is you're hearing or what you're seeing. And a lot of the tropes, if we're being honest, are just downright awful, right? And so I'm going to share with you a few that we talked about and just a few that came to my head in coming up with the idea and the topic for this particular episode. One of the biggest terrible rapper tropes is when you hear a rapper say, "I don't know who blank is," insert older rapper. So let's say, "I don't know who Nas is." If you've been following hip hop circles the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of discussion about Nas. Now, for me, Nas, in my opinion, is arguably the greatest lyricist we've ever heard. I've got him number two right behind Rakim. Here's the thing. Nas is a lyricist. He's not somebody who makes music to appease people. He doesn't make music necessarily to show up on tabloids and reality TV shows. He appears to be a very low-key guy, very introspective, real calm, cool, and he's been like that since like the first time we heard from him in 1994. He's not someone who's out here clout chasing, but for a rapper to say, "I don't know who Nas is," or "I don't know who Rakim is," or "I don't know who Big Daddy Kane is," I think that's a terrible trope. Because here's the thing, if you're getting into a field as a rapper, I would think that you would want to learn a little bit about the people that came before you. You know, if I'm playing basketball, right, and I'm in high school, and let's say I'm a high school senior, odds are likely, depending on where I was, I probably saw Kobe Bryant play basketball, right? I probably saw LeBron James play basketball at some point in time during their careers and during my lifetime, right? It's not likely that I saw Michael Jordan. It's not likely that I saw Magic Johnson. It's not likely that I saw Dr. J. It's not likely that I saw Larry Bird. But here's the thing. If I'm playing basketball, if you're good, if you're great, if you strive to be great, you're probably going to study other players other than the ones that you saw in your era, maybe some of the ones that came before them, so you could take a little bit of their game and implement it into your game. The same goes for hip hop. So at the time of this recording, it's 2025, right? So an artist like Biggie or Tupac or Nas or Jay-Z are now being referred to from this current generation as quote unquote old school artists, which is funny to me because I remember their debuts and their debuts were in the 90s. But when I think about it, the 90s was like 30 years ago. And that's crazy because to me, the 90s really happened yesterday. Like I can literally tell you everything that happened in 1995. And 1995 was 30 years ago. But I remember and relive 1995 like it was yesterday. So I said all that to say this. If you're a rapper and you're coming up in the game, I would think that you would want to at least know who some of the people are who came before you. Do you have to study their rhymes? No, you don't have to study their rhymes. But don't be dismissive, because a lot of times I think with some in this younger generation when it comes to hip hop, they want to dismiss those who came before them. And they also come off as if hip hop was just started 5 years ago. No, it wasn't. It was started over 50 years ago. And believe it or not, there are a lot of people walking this earth that can tell you about hip hop from day one to the current day of today. And you're listening and looking at one of them. Now, we don't want any props or any cookies for that. But the thing is that we understand that there was a world that existed before your little rapping ass came in here. So it's okay, young brother. It's okay, young sister. Do you understand and work on your craft? But don't dismiss those who came before you, or just say, I don't know who Nas is, or I don't know who Big Daddy Kane is, or something like that. Because understand that those people had to come here and run this race long before you got here. So when you talk about the bag that you got, when you talk about the money that you're getting, understand that there were people who had to kick down doors just for you to walk in. Now, there probably are very little obstacles for you. They faced hundreds of obstacles. Keep that in mind. Another terrible rap trope that we talked about. When I hear rappers say, "Oh, I've only been rapping for 6 months." Really? I mean, like, that's not really something to brag about. Generally speaking, you want to hone your craft to the point where you can rap and you sound good and it doesn't sound like you've been rapping that long, even if you haven't been rapping that long. But there's no badge of honor for being able to rap for 6 months and then you get, you know, get put on, if you will. I know things are different now, because back in the day, before you had to get a record, before you could get a record deal, you had to pay your dues. And paying dues could mean anything from working with a record label, or rhyming for a whole bunch of people, or proving that you could sell records, or proving that people would gravitate to you and your music. You had to, you know, get it out the mud. And when I say get it out the mud, I'm talking about the mud. I ain't talking about what these people are talking about these days. Technology's made it very, very easy. And that's no knock on anybody making music of today, but it's very easy because there are very few obstacles that you can get before you can have a hit record. I literally could record a song tonight, take the song, upload it to my computer, and if people start listening, I could put it out on my social media platforms. And let's say 100,000 people listen to this song. I could have the number one song in the country without having set foot in any record store or any radio station or any club or anything. So the way that we get the music to the consumer is totally different. And I'm not mad at anybody who does that. Just understand that you don't get any props for saying, "Hey, I've only been rapping for 3 months." That doesn't matter. I think those who are really, really good at rap normally have paid their dues and have worked on their craft for years and years and years. When I look at somebody like, and I'll use him as an example, Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar was somebody who was rapping for a long time before we heard of who he was. You know, a lot of people know who K-Dot is now, but K-Dot was somebody who paid his dues. Another guy, Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne was somebody we saw literally grow up with Cash Money. Cash Money had one of the biggest records in the world. And this guy was saying, wobbity, wobbity, drop it like it's hot. He's like, he didn't have any bars on the song. But he slowly but surely became the best rapper in his group. And subsequently became one of the biggest stars in hip hop. He paid his dues. He wasn't put in the front and said, hey, go get him. You've only been rapping for 3 months. No. And I remember, I don't want to directly attribute this to The Game, but the rapper The Game, I remember him saying like he had only been rapping for 6 months. The Game raps really, really good. I don't think for a second that he had only been rapping for 6 months by the time we heard him for the first time. I'm not believing that. I'm just not. It sounds good because it makes you sound like you're an anomaly. And by default, you probably are because you are a really good rapper. And there's not a lot of really good rappers out there, if we're being honest, right? That being said, you don't get props for saying, hey, I've only been rapping for 2 weeks. Nobody cares. That doesn't push you further up the line. It doesn't make you, you know, make a hit if you can say that you've only been rapping for 3 weeks. I mean, and I've heard rappers say this like it's some type of badge of honor or something. No, if that's your story, then that's cool. But I doubt it very seriously, because I think there's a lot of people who rap pretty good that can't really say that they've only been rapping for a few months. They've been rapping for some years, and there's no shame in rapping for years. You want to pay your dues. That's usually the way it works. And usually when you start off rapping, you know, for a few years, and it takes you some time to get to where you are, you normally get better over that period of time. Like a guy like T.I., I saw T.I. as a young dude rapping long before any of the Grand Hustle, any Rubber Band Man, before all of that stuff. And he was a rapper's rapper. I mean, he could spit. And he worked on his craft, and he became who he became because he did it over a period of time. Same with Outkast, Andre 3000 and Big Boy. They rapped for a long time before they even got a record deal. And you'll find that in a lot of rappers that we listen to. I just think now I'm not going to blame new rappers, because I've heard older rappers say this too. It didn't happen overnight. I don't care how good you are. It didn't happen overnight. You didn't just do it, you know, so fast. Now, Trinidad James told me he had been rapping for 6 months. I'd believe him. And there's no knock on Trinidad James. I'm just saying, like, Trinidad James ain't Andre 3000. It is what it is. Another terrible rapper trope that I hate is, oh, we did this in one take. Meaning that what you hear on the record, this rapper said without ever having to repeat a bar or a word or anything, the first time that they went in the booth, they spit that verse, and that's what you hear. Now, whatever the engineer had to do to put overdubs or whatever the case may be, that's fine. But they basically did it. They basically had a perfect verse when they wrapped it in the booth that particular day or night. I don't buy that at all. And I blame Jay-Z for this. Again, I think the blame can go to young rappers. I think the blame can go to older rappers. This one goes to Jay-Z, and it's because Jay-Z was commonly called one take Hove, meaning that he could do his raps in one take. Now, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. Anything's possible. Kevin Garnett told y'all that. That being said, I don't think anybody, especially today, you know, where you don't have where you have the technology, maybe it's easier to do it today than it could have been 20 years ago. I would assume that it is, because everything's easier now. That being said, being able to rap or to spit your rap in one take, again, you don't get any as a fan, we don't know. So you don't get any props for saying it in one take or 15 takes. I mean, like, I always go back to that, the scene of the movie from NWA, Straight Outta Compton, when they had Eazy-E, who clearly was not a rapper. Rest in peace, Eazy-E from NWA. It was hard for him to say, cruising down the street in my 6'4". Now, when you hear it on the tape, it sounds flawless. But according to the movie, Straight Outta Compton, it took Eazy like 35 times to do that. And they basically were what they call punching in his verses. So they would take pieces of what he was saying, record it, and take the pieces, and they eventually built his verse into a song. And there's nothing wrong with that, because again, Eazy-E wasn't a rapper. He was a street guy that funded NWA. He was the muscle. He was the street element of that group. He wasn't an MC. He wasn't a writer like Ice Cube. He wasn't a lyricist like Ice Cube. He couldn't rhyme like MC Ren. So he was good at what he did, but he learned how to rap. And that's what the movie showed in that particular scene. So I'm not mad at Eazy for that. But to say somebody did something in one take, I don't believe. Like, listen, again, old school. One of my favorite songs, one of my favorite albums, I think one of the greatest albums of all time, Illmatic by Nas. There's a song, New York State of Mind. Now, the song is produced by DJ Premier, legendary DJ Premier. Premier said that Nas did it in one take. Now, as Primo said it, he said that he's counting down, and you can actually hear Nas say in the rhyme, I don't know how to start this. And then he says, now. And then he starts rapping. For as great as that song is, and it's my favorite song on that particular album, for as great as that song is, I don't believe that Nas did that in one take. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shape the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes. I think the song is too flawless and it's too, I don't want to say it's too perfect, but it's too much going on in that song for him to have done it one time. Here's the thing, to do a song in one take, you literally have to have the vocal tone. You can't mess up on a word. You can't mess up. It's gotta be perfect. I don't think that happens. Could it happen? Of course, it could happen. It's not likely that it happened. Not in that verse, not in that song. I don't believe it. I think sometimes because people have gotten so used to saying it, oh, well, we did it in one take, that it makes it sound like everybody can do it. Everybody can't do that. They just can't. Another terrible trope I can't stand is, I don't write my rhymes. Okay. So you mean to tell me that you sat there and you wrote all of the rhymes in your head and then you just spit them out into the microphone? I don't think that's possible. I think for a writer, you have to be able to grab a pen and a piece of paper and scribble it down and read to yourself. Now, here's the thing. And this, again, going back to the old school, Jay-Z and Biggie allegedly were the first people, at least publicly, to come out and say, well, I don't write rhymes. Like, I write the rhymes in my head. And it's legendary. You hear people talk about him all the time. They say, well, Jay-Z, he when he's recording, he'll go sit in a room where the music is playing and the music is playing. And he's sitting in a chair and he's basically writing the rhyme in his head. So he knows every single word, every single line for every single bar. And he basically does this, and he sits in a chair and listens to the music and makes it up basically in his head as he goes along until he's ready to put it to, you know, in the booth. And then he'll go in the booth and recite it back verbatim. Now, Jay-Z's explanation in this was when he was in the streets, before he's got a record deal, before he started rapping, he would be on a corner hustling, and he would write his rap. He was, you know, a rapper then, back then, but he wasn't, you know, doing it for money, anything like that. And so in his explanation is that he would write his rhymes on a piece of paper, on a paper bag, and he stuffed the paper bag in his pocket. And he would do that. And anytime a rhyme would come to him, he write it on a piece of paper, on a paper bag, and stuff it in his pockets. And then he said it got to a point where he had so many torn up pieces of a paper bag that he could not stuff them in his pockets anymore. He was running out of space. And so he just had to learn how to keep the rhymes in his head without losing them. That sounds good in theory. Could you do it? Doubt it. I doubt it. For someone like Jay-Z, if he's done it over this amount of time, is it believable that he could do it? Possibly. I think he probably could do it, and I think he's probably done it before. Is he doing it every time he records a song? I don't think so. And I think he's led people to believe that that's what he does, and now other people have said it. Biggie said that when Biggie was still alive, they were doing a song, and Jay-Z handed him a pad, and Biggie said, well, no, I don't need this pad. He's like, you need a pad? He's like, no, I don't need a pad either. I don't write nothing down. Jay-Z's like, oh, and I don't write anything down either. And they both kind of laughed and went in the studio and sat and wrote their rhymes in their heads. Now, there is also and you can find it on YouTube, where Method Man says, and Method Man had a song with Biggie on Biggie's debut album, Ready to Die, song called The What. And Method Man said he wrote his rhyme, and Biggie sat right next to him in the studio and wrote his rhyme too. So now somebody's lying. Again, it's nothing wrong if you sit down and write your rhyme. There's no crime in it. You, as an MC, as a writer, you should write your rhymes. Don't fall into the terrible trope of these rappers telling you that everybody, or that you should not write your rhymes. Some people don't write their rhymes and it sounds like it. Some of them write them in their heads and it sounds like it. It's just that bad. Another terrible rapper trope is, I used to hustle. I used to sell dope. Or I used to gangbang. All right. So let me start with the gangbang first. Listen. I always found that interesting because, like, in hip hop, one of the things that I think we lost over a period of time was authenticity. You couldn't talk about something if you didn't live it. And so if you said that you were this, trust and believe, there were going to be people on the street that were going to test you to see if you really were that. And so I don't understand. And I know it's different, right? I mean, hell, we have a rapper who calls himself Rick Ross, named after the drug kingpin Ricky Ross. And Rick Ross, the rapper, probably never sold any drugs. I mean, the guy was a corrections officer at one point. But he raps these grandiose tales of moving keys and everything, and he is a really good rapper. But he's a storyteller. And I don't find any of the stuff believable, but I mean it's just like if you change the channel and you turn on wrestling. That's what I think of when I see Rick Ross. I think of a wrestler. Like the wrestlers get on TV and they tell you about how they're gonna beat this guy up and they're gonna body slam him and they're gonna take his girl and all kind of stuff. That's what it is. It's a level of entertainment for those who want to be entertained. I don't buy it as anything as being real. So, okay, when you go back to the gang thing, gang stuff is street stuff. And so I'm from an era where you don't talk about street stuff that you ain't got, that you're not involved in street stuff. So if it's some street shit going on and you ain't in that street shit, you don't talk about that because there are people who live that street shit and are on those streets, and they will approach you to see if you are about that life. And so the whole thing with me is particularly when you, because here's the thing, hearing people outside of major cities talk about gangs is funny to me. And that's not to say that there aren't gangs, there's gangs everywhere, right? But like, I think we know where the Vice Lords are. I think we know where the GDs are. I think we know where the Bloods and the Crips are. And I think we know where they all originated. So like, if you're not in those places, I just find those conversations just to be funny to me, because now it's like, it's almost like a social media thing. Like, okay, yeah, well, I rep this set right here, da 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 da. Okay, well, if you rep that set, somebody who is a rival of that set is probably going to come see you. Not on something they're going to kill you or nothing like that, but they probably going to come see you at some point. Don't talk about no shit or no sets that you don't belong to, or maybe some set adopted you. I ain't no street dude, so I don't talk about street shit, but like, that whole I bang or I rep this set and you ain't from that set. Listen, I'm from an era where that really could get you hurt. I'm going to just be honest. And I don't know what the going rate is nowadays, but I want to say I think it probably still could get you hurt if you're claiming some area that you ain't from and somebody approaches you about it. Because trust and believe, somebody's going to approach you about it. The I used to hustle thing is so far beyond me. There was a point in time in the early 2000s where every rapper that came on the scene used to sell dope, and he sold dope until this one point, and then he got out of selling dope and he became a rapper. If we're being honest, there's only maybe about 10 rappers that actually used to sell dope. Like Pusha T and his brother, Jay-Z, T.I., 2 Chainz, and like a couple others. It ain't a lot of people that used to really, really sell dope. And I ain't talking about just, you know, a little nickel bag here, nickel bag there. I'm talking about like really sell. Because here's the thing. If you really were in the streets like that, you could never rap about it. You just couldn't. I mean, it's just like if I was in a gang, if I told y'all I was in the Spalding Heights Crips, I mean, like, would you believe me? And here's the thing, like, that don't even sound like a gang, the Spalding Heights Crips. But if I told you that, me telling you that I was in the Spalding Heights Crips sounds about as silly as some of these rappers when they tell you that they rep this set or they're from this gang or whatever the case may be. And the drug trade thing is even funnier to me because, again, you ain't sold no drugs. So these are terrible rapper tropes, because here's the thing. As you're telling these stories of how much weight you pushed and how many girls you had and how you almost got caught by the cops, there is a 15-year-old that's listening and that's hanging on to every single word that you're saying. The difference is that when I was 15, a long time ago, when Big Daddy Kane said something, I believed him. When LL said something, I believed him. When Rakim said something, I believed him, because in my mind, he had no reason to lie to me. a lot of these rappers of today with these terrible rapper tropes are lying to you. And they're doing it in 4K. And you can actually see and verify what they're saying or not saying. And you let it go and you let it be gold. I don't understand that part of it. But I don't know. I'm old and washed. Maybe it's not meant for me to understand. But I would like to see rappers get away from the, I used to gang bang. I used to sell, I sold dope to Mexico, to the cartel, and all of these grandioso stories. I mean, it's comical at this point. And I always refer back to that Kendrick line. I hate when a rapper talk about guns and somebody die and then they turn into nuns. Shout out to Euphoria. Euphoria, I think, was bigger than people actually realize. I mean, if you go back and listen and break down the lyrics of Euphoria from Kendrick Lamar, he said a whole lot. He said way more than he did in the song Not Like Us. But he makes a great point in the fact that, you know, we talk about these guns, we talk about this violence, and then all of a sudden when something happens, oh, pray for my city, pray for my country. You have to, and I'm not going to sit here and say that the violence that we see on a day-to-day basis is because of rap. No, because here's the thing. We've been seeing violence in our communities long before rap ever came. And unfortunately, the violence will be here long after rap, because the thing that people don't understand is crimes are based on proximity. If I'm going to rob somebody, I'm probably going to rob somebody that lives near me. I'm probably not driving onto the other side of Atlanta to go rob somebody. I'm probably going to rob somebody that lives near me. If I'm going to shoot somebody, it's probably going to be somebody that lives within a 2-mile radius of me. The statistics show that crimes are committed within proximity. So, you know, I think you have to be real careful about that. I get it. I'm older. So all of this gunplay talk and all of that stuff, to me, it's like water on a duck's back at this point. I hear it. It's not something I necessarily jam to. I get it. But after a while, like, if that's all you're talking about, like, I don't really want to hear it. Like, even like when I see freestyles, when I see the battles, MC battles and stuff like that on YouTube, I mean, it's literally 25 minutes of two dudes going back and forth about how they kill each other. No kind of clever bars or nothing like that. It's always just, I mean, so I got turned off by those probably 10, 15 years ago. Like, as we got into the early 2000s, I was like, nah, I'm not going to hear just two dudes just standing on the stage, you know, just insulting themselves. And then, like I said, the gunplay now is just like, and I mean, bro, we don't have to turn on the TV. We don't have to go far to find violence in any of our communities. And so it's not because of rap, but I think you're doing yourself a disservice when that's all that you talk about, or you don't talk about the consequences of gun violence. We have to be a little bit more responsible. In fact, we have to be a lot more responsible, because we're at the time now where those lyrics, and we've seen it before, your lyrics will get played in court. And if somebody did something, or if you did something, they could say, well, hey, you said this on this record and this guy got shot. This is your reference to somebody getting shot. We think that you were responsible for this guy getting shot. Now you have to prove your innocence and fight for your freedom based on a song that you made that you was high as hell doing. You didn't know that you put that in there. Or maybe you did. Maybe you didn't care. And you don't want that. In conclusion, I think we have to move away from these terrible rapper tropes. Hip hop is aging. Hip hop will continue to age. And for every old head, there's a young buck coming up right behind him. And again, you have to remember that when you come with these terrible rap tropes, there's somebody younger that's hanging on to every single word. So you want to make sure you're telling them something right. Don't just feed them BS, because we get enough of that everywhere else. That's going to do it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every Monday and every Friday at midnight. If you're on social media, follow us, 12 Kyle at Rap Soul Podcast across the board. We also have a YouTube channel. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Subscribe there, like, and share it with a friend. Don't forget about our flagship podcast. It's called the 12 Kyle Podcast. We drop new episodes there every Thursday and every Sunday at midnight. You can find the 12 Kyle Podcast wherever you're listening and watching to this podcast. And that's going to do it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is 12 Kyle. I will catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.